Welcome to the John Hendrick Fellowship Lunch Podcast. These are messages by Hendrick Motorsports Chaplain Donnie Floyd of Motor Racing Outreach. These messages are spoken weekly to encourage and help you see the world through God's eyes and not your own. Life can be difficult, but we believe life with God can be joyful and fulfilling. I hope that these messages will influence you to trust God and His promises. You can learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at go2mro.com. Thanks for listening. Let's get ready for today's message. Thanks for coming back this week. We've been in this series, Faith, Family, and Friends. We're going to finish it up today by looking at friends. Something we have definitely spoke about here over the years. And I believe friends matter. Friends matter to the leadership of this company. Hopefully your friends matter. But we're going to kind of dive into this and see what God has for us when we look at what it means to be a friend, to have friends. The verse for today, Proverbs 17:17. Listen to this. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Let me ask you this with your friends. Do you love them at all times? Like all times, right? Like, why are you laughing, Freddie? Are you thinking about Daryl? You are, aren't you? But, well, you're going to learn how to love Daryl better today. So I'm excited for this. What's a friend? Listen to this. A person whom one knows and with whom one has a bond of mutual affection, typically exclusive of sexual or family relations. In other words, a friend is not an acquaintance. You have a lot of acquaintances. That's ones that you have slight knowledge of, or maybe a friendship with someone. You don't know a lot about them. You don't hang out. You don't do dinner together. So you're not really a friend. You're an acquaintance. But that mutual affection, that's a fondness, right? A liking of. So in other words, if it's not mutual, if there's no mutual affection, there's no mutual liking, they're not your friend. And that's okay, right? We can't be friends with everyone in what it means to be a friend. And so as we look at this, we're going to learn that first, we're relational people. Now, for my introverts in here, you're probably like, no, I'm not, right? Like, I'm not relational. And you probably can't stand your extroverted friends that make friends with everybody in 5 minutes, right? But we are relational people. God's made us that way. That's why one of the reasons we like to do this to bring you in community is so that you can make friends and care for one another. And we know that that's a big deal here as far as friending people and looking after people and caring for one another. Listen to this verse, Proverbs 12:26. The righteous man is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. I want you to think about that. It says a righteous man, not an unrighteous man, but a righteous man is what? A guide to his neighbor. So there's something about loving your neighbor, having a friend, and being in a position to help guide them and direct them. And we're going to learn what that looks like today because think of this. Let's look at these types of friends. You have casual friends. So those are not your regular or permanent friends. So your casual friend is someone that you've friended, that you maybe have known for a long time. My wife and I have some friends like this. And then when we do meet 6 months later, it's as if we've never left off. Like we're casual friends. We're not always together. We're not always texting or calling one another, but we do have a unique friendship. And then you have the professional friends. Maybe this is something like you have here at HMS, a professional friend. In other words, it's at work. It's about work. It kind of stays at work, right? Now, it doesn't mean that at work you can't make true friends, but you have a lot of professional friends, maybe related to business or what it is you do that has to do with work. Maybe your spouse does as well. And then you have your close friends. Now, these are the friends I really want us to think about today, these true friends. And here's the best way to do this. Maybe you guys don't think like I do, but you know I'm kind of a weird thinker. But I think about who's going to carry my casket. Anybody ever think about that? I don't know why I think about it. I'm not going to be here. Do I really care? But I'm like, There's going to be six people that are going to carry my casket. And they're most likely going to be super close friends. There's this core group in your life that is close to you. They're your true friends. And I really want us to look at that today, because this is the importance of friendship. Is as much as an extrovert has a lot of friends, you think, they're not all close friends, right? A lot of our acquaintances, they're casual, they're professional, and they're just good at, you know, talking with people and creating relationships. But even they have close friends, that core group of people that you let into your world and you care about. And so with that said, you have to be careful when it comes to your friends, because you got to pick them carefully. You do get to choose who your friends are. Now, remember last week we talked about family. You don't get to choose who they are, right? Now, if you're getting married, you get to choose who your spouse is going to be. But after that, you know, as that family tree grows, you don't always get to pick who your family is or where you come from. But you do get to pick your friends. And so as believers, one thing we do have to be careful about is who do we pick to be our friends? And it's important that we know why we choose the way we choose. And so, question, what is a true friend? If someone was to ask you, what is a true friend, what would you say? I'm going to take us to the book of Ecclesiastes. If you know anything about this book, it can be depressing when you read it. I've talked about that in here. But I'm going to give you a reason of why it was written out of my Bible. Listen to this. Ecclesiastes offers a philosophy of life and shows how life not centered on God is purposeless and meaningless. Part of the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes was used by the Hebrews as a book of instruction. It showed them how to find spiritual significance in a life that would otherwise be meaningless. Right. So we read a lot in this book about how things are meaningless. Even when you start, it starts out, everything is meaningless. Sounds encouraging, right? And then it goes to chapter 2 or into chapter 1. Wisdom is meaningless. Pleasures are meaningless. I mean, you're like, wow, God, what are you trying to teach me here? He gets to a place where it says toil is meaningless. You ever feel like your work is meaningless? Toil is meaningless. We see in chapter 3, there's a time for everything. And then we get to this place in chapter 4 where we learn a little bit about friends. In other words, oppression, toil, and friendliness. Listen to this in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. It says, and believe it or not, you hear this sometimes at weddings, but we want to look at this from the idea of friendship. It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. It says also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. What exactly is that trying to say to us? Listen to this in my Bible. It says, though the teacher was often pessimistic and seems down on life, he was also practical. So while talking about corrupt world full of troubles, he goes on to suggest one of copying. Coping. People are better off when they have friends to help them with the challenges of life. In fact, the more difficult life is, the more valuable friends become. Why is this? Because there's strength in numbers. Like, we need each other. You need close friends in your life. And you know that if you've ever been through something where you've had to struggle. You have to have friends in your life. Ask yourself this, outside of your family, if something really tragic happened to you today, outside of your family, who's that one friend you would call? And you probably know who that is. Now, if you don't know who that is, you probably need to think of who that is. Mine would be Bob Myrtle. He's my mentor. He lives in Ohio, so he's going to have a trip to make to come to me. But you know what? If I call him today, he'll be here tomorrow. Probably he'd be here today. He'd find a way because he's a close friend, right? So we all need friends. The Bible makes it very clear that we need each other, especially like-minded people. Why is that? Because we need true friends. So what's a true friend? Well, listen to this. A true friend shows love. A true friend gives truthful counsel. Do you got that one friend in your life that's just always honest with you, even when you don't want them to be, right? They're so truthful. You're like, why do you got to be so truthful? But we need truthful counsel from our friends. How about this? It's not afraid to correct you for the betterment of yourself. You have a friend like that? Or do you have close friends that tell you everything you want to hear, knowing that that's not best for you? But a true friend does what? They're gonna be honest. They're gonna correct you because they know what's best for you. And you're not afraid to have that person in your life. How about this? They sharpen you. In other words, having a friend that sharpens you and makes you better versus having a friend that just brings you down and dulls you in life, right? Now, I get it. As believers, there's a place for people in our life that are negative and toxic and dulling us down, because at the end of the day, we want them to know Christ, right? We want them to be able to be in a position to sharpen people. So we don't completely abandon them, but you need a true friend that sharpens you. How about this? Does not talk negative about you. Think about that. What is that? Well, in the Bible, we see that often as gossip. You know what gossip is? And we all struggle with gossip, because we don't define it often. Listen to this. Gossip is casual conversation about people, about things not confirmed about being true. Now gossip is on social media, where people just type stuff, print stuff, and put it out there. And we don't even know if it's true, but we just believe it's true because somebody put it out there. But could you imagine having a true friend that talked negative about you and gossiped about you, right? And so we don't want that in our true friendships. How about this? A true friend forgives you. Now, this doesn't mean a true friend can't be angry or mad at you, right? We all hurt each other in certain ways sometimes that we'd prefer not to. But there is a place where your true friends are going to walk in forgiveness. And we want that. We need that. And hopefully, you're that kind of friend. And then last, a true friend is loyal. Loyal. Like, you have people in your life that are loyal. They're supportive. They show allegiance to you. You may have heard this in the business sector. I hear this. Donnie, you're a company man. I'm like, no, I'm just loyal. I'm just loyal. I just appreciate where I work and the people I work with. And there's a certain amount of allegiance, of loyalty. I'm not a company man. Like, there's plenty of things in my life at different jobs I've had that I didn't like about where I worked, but I was still loyal. I was still loyal. And so wouldn't you want to have a friend or friends that are loyal, that stick to you no matter what, right? There's nothing worse than having a group of friends that when you're going through the darkest days of your life, they abandon you. That wouldn't be a great friend, would it? And so with that said, we're called to do what? Choose our friends with discernment. As believers, to pick and choose wisely. Why? Because we have to have the ability to judge well when we make friends. So let me make this sense to us. Proverbs 22, 24 through 25. I love this. It says, do not even associate with a man. Now, this doesn't just mean man. It's humanity. Given to angry outburst, or go along with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his undisciplined ways and get yourself trapped in a situation from which it's hard to escape. We learn in this book of wisdom that there's something about hanging out with, making friends with angry, bitter, dark, negative people, right? And you may know some people like that. Hey, I've been that person before to a friend and had to apologize. I'm like, man, I'm not being a great friend to you, am I? But we have to be careful and choose and pick friends in our life that understand what it means to be a true friend. We're not talking about acquaintances here. And so with that said, the reason for this is we have to know that some friends may lead you to sin. You ever had a friend that kind of enticed you to do some things that you didn't want to do? Right? And, you know, maybe you were influenced by it and you gave into it and you did it. And then you look back and you're like, I wish I wouldn't have done that. And so friends don't lead other friends into sin. You don't want friends that give you bad advice. Hey, just because they saw it on social media doesn't mean they're an expert, right? I mean, there's some things that you still need to get good advice on, right? And so not only that, they may not have your best interest in mind, right? That's why you choose with discernment. Like, does this friend have my best interest in mind when it comes to certain things in life, right? And then not only that, they think they are your only friend. You ever been there? You're like, man, wonder why that guy don't want to be my friend. Well, is it possible that he's already got a handful? Let me ask you something. How many friends can you have in your life, close friends? How many you got the bandwidth for, right? How many? Think about it. How many can you handle in your head, in your life, close friends that you can pour into, that you can support and you can sharpen and you can care for and you can love? I would say for most of us, not more than five, probably not even five, right? And so if you see someone and you're like, man, I just don't understand why they really won't let me in. Why won't they be my close friend? Isn't it possible they already have too many and they don't have the bandwidth to bring you in as a true friend? They may not tell you that, but aren't you that way, right? Think of your close friends. Do you have room to bring 10 more in? It doesn't mean you don't love people. It doesn't mean you don't care for people, but we're talking about close friends here. How much can you let in and can you do life with? And so we have to think about when we choose our friends, this idea of discernment, of judging well, like who do I want in? Who do I not want in? Not because I don't like people, not because I don't love people, but because one, I want to make sure I'm protected by true friends, and then my mind can only handle so much. I can only pour out so much to these friends. And then I get to a place in Scripture where Paul is writing to a true friend of his, Timothy. And listen to what he says in 2 Timothy. Now, some of you are going to think this is crazy, but this is the Word of God. It's about godliness in the last days. Now, bear with me here. Listen to this. 3, verse 1. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And then listen to this. Have nothing to do with them. What? I thought we were supposed to love everybody, Donnie. Well, we are. But Paul's writing to his friend Timothy here. He's mentoring him as he's preparing to go out and disciple. And everything I just read to you is why you have discernment. Because he's saying, Timothy, be careful here. Be careful when you pick your friends. Be careful who you're hanging out with, because there's going to be some terrible times. And this is continuing from this day on. And he says, Paul, hey, have nothing to do with them. Why? Because they're not going to be good for you. They're not going to be good for you. They're going to lead you to sin. They're going to lead you with bad advice. They're going to put you in a position to not have your best interest in mind. But not only that, you have more than one friend. You're not their only friend. And so we have to be in a position that when we have friends in our life, that it's important that we use discernment to pick and choose and say, man, who do I want in my life? Who do I not want in my life? And that's different for all of us. Why is that? Because there's a lot of things out there that are not good for us when it comes to making friends. And so with that said, what do we do with that? Well, we look to the greatest example of what it means and what it meant to be a friend. We look at the example of Jesus. Now, I know we've never met him, right? But the apostles, they got to hang out with him, right, and learn from him. We know this is God incarnate. God came to us, Emmanuel. He dwelled the earth in fully human form, right? Divine but human, second part of the Trinity. And I want to read what he had to say a little bit about friends, because I think it's important for us as we begin to close. But listen to this in the book of John. I'm going to go John 15. Now, this is not written out in your handout, but I'm going to read it to you. Listen to John 15:15. I do not call you servants any longer. He's talking to people. For the servant does not know what the master is doing. He says, but I have called you my friends, because I have revealed to you everything that I've heard from my Father. Speaking of the first part of the Trinity, Trinity God, right? Jesus, the second part, Jesus, the Father, the Son. But reminding them that, hey, his disciples, the people he is leading are his friends. But he goes on to say this in John 15:13. He taught us to lay down our lives for one another. This is what true friends do. And you're like, man, I ain't laying down my lives, Donnie, for no friend. Well, you might could for your true friends, right? But think of what Jesus said here in 15:13. He says this, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Now, in this case, he's talking about Jesus, which he literally laid down his life for us, right? But there's something we can learn from that. Does this mean that you got to go crucify yourself for your friend? Well, I would have trouble doing that myself. But it does mean that there's a sacrificial giving of yourself for your friends. Like, maybe it's your time. Maybe it's your breaking your schedule to help somebody. Maybe it's sacrificially helping them financially, or maybe listening to them, or walking through grief or pain with them when you would prefer to be somewhere else. Like, there's something about laying down your life for your friend. Why? Because they're your true friend. And then we listen to this in John 14. He put spiritual conditions on friendship, and so should we. And you're like, what? I thought our love was unconditional. Well, it is. But he put conditions on it. Listen to what he said in John 15:14. He goes on to say this. You are my friends if you do what I command. You ever say that to your friends? Hey, I'm welcoming you into my life. You're going to be my friend. But you got to do what I command. You'd be like, you're not my friend. But Jesus said this. You are my friends if you do what I command. That's from Jesus. What did he mean by that? There's a condition. He goes on to say this. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what the master's business, as we just read earlier. He said, instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. What did he mean by that? So Jesus taught us to love and seek the best for one another. Did you know that? As much as he put conditions on what friendship looks like, there's conditions. There's conditions to protect us as believers. He says this in John 15:17. This is my command. Love each other. So remember the condition. You are my friends if you do what I command. So you want to be my friend, then you got to do what I command. Well, what is that, Jesus? This is my command, that you love each other. See, that's the requirement. for being a friend, not only of our Savior, but being a friend to a true friend, is there has to be some type of love there, right? Some type of unconditional love and care and affection and liking. Why? Because you need friends. You need friends. And you don't need 100 of them. You don't need 50 of them. You need a handful of them. Why is that? Because that's all you can handle, right? So anybody on social media? You don't want to say? You liars, right? You ever notice, like, how many friends do I got? On my Facebook, I got like 1,554. They're not my friends. They're my acquaintances. They're people I get to minister to. Some are my friends. They're casual. They're professional, right? But they're not my true friends. There may be a couple true friends on there because I've put them on my Facebook to hold me accountable, to go, if I'm going off the rails, will you say something? And I have a true friend that reached out to me last week and go, hey, just by the way, this is the way this seems or reads. True friend, right? Protecting me, right? And so we have to be careful that we get caught up in this life thinking, man, if I could just have more friends. You don't need more friends. You need true friends. And you can only handle a handful unless you're just something that I'm not. And it's exhausting sometimes to love and care for people close to you. And so you're all my friends, but all of you aren't carrying my casket. That's not personal. That's just true, right? There will be certain people that will because they're close to me. And that's okay. And that's okay for you too, to have a certain amount of friends that you care for and love. Why is that? Because a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. You ever been in a place of adversity? You're going to need friends, and you're going to need close friends that stand with you, right, and tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear, and love you through life. But not only that, they sharpen you with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to encourage you guys. We're relational people. You need true friends. You need to use discernment when you pick your friends, but use the model of the greatest friend of all time. Jesus, let me pray for us. God, thank you for another wonderful Wednesday, Lord, where we get to just break bread and hear from your word. And so, God, we know this is something that when we look at friends, that can be difficult for many of us. We've been hurt by friends. We have some friends that don't seem like they're close friends. And our just being a friend myself, Lord, I've not always been the best of a friend. And so, God, forgive us for that. But not only that, Lord, help us to recognize the people that you've put in our life that are close to us, that maybe we need to reach out to and continue to love on and care for with unconditional love. And so, God, help us also to recognize where maybe we need to move on and make someone an acquaintance or move in a different direction because they're not good for us, simply for the betterment of ourselves. And so, God, we pray your favor over that. We continue to pray for this group, Lord, that you would move in their lives by the power of your Spirit. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, guys and gals. See y'all next week. We have guest speaker next week, so excited to have you here. We hope you enjoyed this message. It is our hope that you take what you have learned today and allow God to use it in your daily life. Feel free to share this message if it has been a benefit to you. Learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at gotomro.com. Take care and God bless.